Thank you, Gary.
Good morning. Muy buenos días. A ver. I won't attempt to do this bilingually. You'll have me long enough as it is. What's that? Mitad en inglés, mitad en español. Como quieres. I wanted to share a story with you this morning. It's good to see you all. This story took place earlier this springtime. It was actually a Sunday afternoon. It was June 8. And that happened to be the day we had been up to Marinwood for their Sunday school picnic. But if I go back before then, we didn't get the spring rains this year because God withheld them. I have my own theories about that, but that's another talk. I would digress. So my wife got tired of seeing weeds growing in our back garden and tired of children playing in those weeds and then playing in the mud. And she sort of began to put her foot down and say, you know, you got to do something. I'm tired of the weeds and I'm tired of the mud. And the kids are happy as clams, but the lady wasn't so happy. So part of that involved putting down some flagstone paving rock. And there's a large stone yard in South Richmond. We've been to a couple of times, bought some stuff there. I had picked out what I wanted, but of course she had to see it. And our house isn't exactly right next door to South Richmond, so we thought, well, it closes at 5. We can leave from the Sunday school picnic. We can swing by there. It's on the way home. I turned this off. I thought, I am sorry. My apologies. Anyway, we were the last purchase of the day, and I knew that. It was 5 o'clock. We were ringing up. I appreciated their time, and we trotted out to the store, to the parking lot. We were parked down at the end of the parking lot. There was the store manager's sedan on one edge of the parking lot, and there was one pickup in the parking lot. The older man, middle-aged man, and probably his son in it. So I was cognizant of all this. The kids had lost some toys on the ground. We took a few minutes to find those toys and pulled out. And we were probably 5-8 minutes after closing as we pulled out to go. Got in line to leave. There was a pickup truck in front of us to leave. And waited. And we waited. And after sitting there for 5 minutes with the car running, I turned the car off to go and talk to the guy in front of us and find out what was happening. And he was waiting. Went out. The 7-foot-tall rolling gate in South Richmond was padlocked with a large padlock. Now, it's not the kind of place I would want to go camping. And we didn't have camping supplies with us. We had some half-empty water bottles. We had no food. I had 7 small children in the car and a lady. The 7 acres of rock, it backs up to the train tracks on one end and a frontage road on the other side, and this is South Richmond. It's not where I want to go camping at night. So talked to the other guy for a few minutes. We examined the padlock. He talked briefly about trying to ram it, and we both concluded that probably wasn't a good idea. It was pretty stout, and there's barbed wire on top. So he decided he would take his son and go back through and figure out where the last person was. And I said I would go back to the manager's office and find him. So he went back in amongst the 7 acres, and I went over and started knocking on doors. And as I took 5 minutes probably to knock on the doors and the windows, you know, first, by the time 5 minutes had come, I was pounding. And it became clear there was nobody there. He came back. There was nobody out back. That sedan was not the store owner manager's vehicle. I don't know what it was doing. We were locked in. And it was getting dark. Not quite yet. And the kids weren't panicked, but they were concerned. Thank God for cell phones. So he called the business line, couldn't get anyone. Anna wisely suggested I call the police. So we did. By God's grace, you know, there's certain things that we don't gravitate to. But I was very grateful that afternoon that there are still people who have the fear of God in them. I was grateful that I wasn't in Mexico, where you probably don't get business until you... No offense. Mi experiencia fue, si uno paga, entonces recibe servicio. Si no paga, a ver. It might depend on how much money you had to give them, whether they would help you or not. By God's grace, he came within 5 minutes, said they had already called, they were going to find an after-hours contact. He had to go off, said he would come and check back in, and he did. So within a half an hour, somebody came back by and opened the gates. And as we walked out, those gates that had looked so looming and impossible suddenly looked like the entry into the stone lot again. And we said a couple of prayers. They will stand outside and they will knock. And they will say, open to us. I don't want to hear those words. I never knew you. Lord, I want to know you, and I want you to know me and my family. Because that's going to be the big gate on the big day that's the most important set of gates. And it may not be a rolling 7-foot gate, I know. But that's what was in my mind. So we said a couple of prayers. Now, as I turned the story over in my head, did I know it was closing time? I knew very well. We were the last transaction of the day. I thanked them more than once. I knew. Did I know what time it was when we were leaving? Absolutely. Did it ever cross my mind that we would be locked in there? No. It didn't cross my mind when we looked at the padlock on the gate that we were actually in there. It crossed my mind in the next 5 to 10 minutes as we couldn't find anybody. My goodness, they all left. Monday morning doesn't sound like a very nice idea. There is something in there about real life, because though we know he's coming, he tells us very plainly, you're going to be surprised. He'll come when you don't expect him. And I believe those words. You can say, oh, that's for them. But don't argue with the scripture. He tells us straightforwardly, you won't expect him. So, that's the way it is, at least to me. Let's open that up and read a little bit. If I had a title for this story, it wouldn't be A Night in South Richmond. It would be Reflections on Stewardship. Whose responsibility was it that 7 children and their mother were sitting in a parking lot after hours in South Richmond? Mi culpa. It wasn't their fault. It was closing hours. It was my fault. If you want to take some of the verses at face value, First, let's just take a quick overview of the story. You've got at least six short parables that, to me, are all very much linked. And they're scenes from daily life. Because you know what? I don't live here, and you guys don't live here, and we're not paid clergy for our livings. We all have whatever our life consists of somewhere. You know, we all have regular lives. We work, we tend families, we retire, we do whatever we do. That's real life. It's in real life that our character shows, and I believe these stories tell us it's in normal, regular dealings of life upon which our judgment will be made. Our judgment isn't made upon this. This is lovely, this is wonderful, but our lives are the measure of what's important to us. Take the stories here. They're all about his coming and it being a surprise and what comes out of that. Two men were working in a field. That was their daily life. Two women were grinding at a mill. That was part of their daily life. There was a man watching a house when a thief came. That was his job. There was a head servant. His job was to make sure food got on the table at its proper times. That resonates a little bit with me right now. With some of you guys too, you know? Food better show up. And in my house, it shows up 3 times a day, at least. And there's quite a lot of people that come when food shows up 7 times a day at my house. My wife knows even a little more about it than I do. That was his job. There were 10 young women who were waiting for a bridegroom. They were waiting. They were going to keep themselves pure. They were looking for him. That was their job. There were 3 men who were entrusted with keeping their master's goods. They were to invest it. They were to run business with it. That was their job. There's the king at the end of everything. You brought somebody in. You invited them in. You shared your food. You shared some water. These are not big, earth-shattering things. These are regular old little life stuff. Little scenes. You gave some clothes. You took the time to care about people. You took the time to visit, either in prison or sick or what have you. So they're scenes of not a highfalutin life, they're scenes of regular old stuff. Now, about it being a surprise, go back and read through. Verse 36, Matthew 24, that's where we picked up in the first story. No one knows about that day or hour. No one. Only the Father. Verse 42. You do not know on what day your Lord will come. Verse 44. The Son of Man will come at an hour you do not expect him. Down into Matthew 25. Verse 5. The bridegroom was a long time in coming. They all became drowsy and all fell asleep. Verse 13, you do not know the day or the hour. So if we take the scripture at what the scripture says, to me, being a simple person, he says, you're not going to get it. It's just going to happen, and it's going to be a surprise. So whatever watch means, watch doesn't mean we're going to be extra special and figure out all the prophecies. At least this is my take on it. And know roughly or exactly his coming. I think watch may have a little more to do with look out for your own lives, because we're going to be judged based on the food and the water issues and did we feed them, and you know, those are reflections of our real normal daily life. Did you get your family locked in the parking lot in South Richmond at 6 o'clock at night? Were you being a good steward? So, stewardship. What are we entrusted with? Who are we entrusted with? I deal with a lot of people at work. I suspect some of you deal with a lot of people at work. I would not at all be surprised to hear the Lord's judgment on the last day be based on how we dealt with people we work with, or how we dealt with our family members, how we dealt with neighbors. We have a lady down the road, neighbor. She lives next door to a very devout family who has never had anything to do with her because she's not good enough for them, or that's been her impression. You know, it may be interesting what the Lord's judgment is based on that last day. So I wanted to talk about that concept of stewardship just a minute and perhaps broaden it. I'm entrusted with the lives of small children right now. I'm entrusted with the life of a lady right now. You're entrusted with people in your own lives, in your own circle of influence. At different points, I think it changes, I'm sure, through age, but I'm sure that it still holds true. You're entrusted with a flock here. There are multiple ways, and it's not limited to people. When he talks about the master's goods, and the term stewardship has, in today's world, financial implications, that's another of the avenues of stewardship. Let's see here. My apologies. I think I lost one. That's okay. I'll tell you what I was going to tell you anyway. I wanted to share one more story with you as just a means of considering what these parables mean, perhaps for us. I was talking to a coworker. Used the opportunity to get my son involved, and this man's job is to tell people, almost as a policeman, when they've done things illegally in terms of construction. And sometimes people don't get real happy to see the badge walk and knock on the door. Sometimes they can get a little hot under the collar. Abel asked, "Mr. Griffith, do people ever try to shoot you?" And he said, no. He said, "I wouldn't have done my job very well if they got that angry." So we talked a little bit about Proverbs 15. A soft answer turns away wrath. And then he said, "You know, there's another scripture that's meaningful to me." He said, "The Lord said, what you've done to one of the least of these, my brothers, you've done to me." Now, I may be a little thick-headed, but thus far in my working life, with my blinders on, I haven't considered the folks that I deal with on a daily basis as potentially being the basis of judgment. That the guy's house you knock on to tell him you did some construction without a permit could potentially be one of the least of these, my brothers. I don't want to go into bigger issues than that. But the Lord challenges us in multiple ways in his parables. And I thought that was an interesting and lovely way of elevating daily life's stuff and putting it in the realm of the basis of our discipleship. So, a story from South Richmond, a story from the life of one of our inspectors, and the stories of these in their daily lives doing the stuff that they were doing, and that being the basis for the Lord's comments at the last day. That's what I wanted to bring to you.